You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Welcome to Pit Pass Moto, the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. I'm Dave Sulecki.
And I'm Dale Spangler. And this week we have Moto America King of the Baggers competitor, Tyler O'Hara. Moto America is the official sponsor of Pit Pass Moto. Moto America, home of the AMA Superbike and North America's premier motorcycle road race series, is thrilled to announce that it will partner with Daytona International Speedway to host one of the world's most prestigious races, the Daytona 200, during the week of March 10th through the 12th, 2022, in Daytona Beach, Florida. The 80th running of the Daytona 200 will feature increased competition from more manufacturers and an international contingent of racers coming over to battle with America's best for the $175,000 in prize money that's up for grabs.
In addition to the Daytona 200, the Moto America Weekend at Daytona International Speedway will be the opening round of the 2022 Mission Moto America King of the Baggers Championship, marking the first time baggers will race the high banks of a super speedway with speeds expected to exceed 160 miles per hour, and also the first round of the Twins Cup Championship. Joining the baggers in Twins Cup will be the ever-popular Roland Sands Super Hooligan National Championship. All three classes will run two races during the Daytona 200 weekend. Tickets are on sale now at DaytonaInternationalSpeedway.com or by calling 1-800-PIT-SHOP. We've got race highlights of AMA Supercross Round 7 of 17 coming from Minneapolis, Minnesota, the first round of the Supercross East Series. Wow, in the 450 action, we had another crazy race, or I should say another crazy night of racing. And Jason Anderson takes home a consecutive win in the series, which was really cool to see because he was aggressive going from second to first. Chase Sexton, who went down late in the race, two laps from the end of the moto, went down hard, and Anderson inherits the win. But he rode strong all night. He definitely deserved it. But boy, Sexton really took a digger, and we hope he's okay.
Yeah, it was such a bummer for Sexton. I don't know. You know, he seemed like he had it in the bag. And once again, this was another action-packed, nonstop, you know, bar-banging race with, unfortunately, red plate holder Eli Tomac goes down on lap one, tangles with his teammate Dylan Ferrandis, and had to mount a charge through the pack. Did make his way all the way to sixth, which is super impressive. But I think some of the biggest news, Cooper Webb back on the podium in second place. I'm starting to wonder, do you think we're seeing the real Cooper Webb back?
I don't know. I'm still kind of split on that because he did inherit that second place due to two crashes, Sexton going down and Stewart going down. So good on him for finishing strong in the night. He definitely did well in his qualifier. He actually hole shot the main. So it's hard to say. It's midway part through the season. We hope he does better. And hopefully he's kind of shaking off the cobwebs and ready to take on the next few races, man.
Yeah, how about that Eastern Region 250 class, though? It was the Jet Lawrence show. I think a newer, more mature Jet Lawrence seemed to show up for this round. He just looked flawless all weekend long, whether it was practice, heat races, or the main event. He made a quick pass on veteran Austin Faulkner, who I think, you know, probably has a lot of pressure on his shoulders this year to take home that title for the Pro Circuit Kawasaki team.
When I compare the two going through that main event, Jet just didn't look like he was working as hard, held a steady lead, and Faulkner, I think, was really riding hard to kind of keep him close. Full credit to him, he hole shot the main, but Jet just motored on past and kind of looks like the Western Series. You got one stud and everybody else trying to run and keep up, but we'll see how this plays out. This is only one round in, so anxious to watch the next few rounds.
For me, I think one of my biggest takeaways was just, you know, I expected it to be a much more chaotic main event, and it was actually pretty mild, really, for as deep as the level of talent is in that 250 East series. riders like RJ Hampshire, Jeremy Martin, Cameron McAdoo, they were all in there battling, but it seemed like it was, you know, a lot less chaos than the West Coast that we've seen a lot of crashes this year. And I'm sure that will get, you know, a little bit more crazier as the series goes on, as these the whoops get deeper and the tracks get more challenging on the East Coast. This week's Industry Spotlight focuses on government relations and motorcyclist safety. In a collaborative effort to raise awareness of key issues and opportunities facing the motorcycle industry, its riders, and safety, the Motorcycle Industry Council, the Motorcycle Safety Foundation, and the American Motorcyclist Association joined forces recently in an online meeting to share priorities with U.S. Department of Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg and senior department staff. Following the recent passage of the Bipartisan Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, three motorcycle associations voiced strong support for investment in education, awareness, highway infrastructure, and the reauthorization of the Motorcyclist Advisory Council to further inform the Department of Transportation, National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, and the Federal Highway Administration about ways to improve infrastructure to make roads safer for motorcyclists. According to Motorcycle Industry Council President and CEO Eric Pritchard, the meeting was a great start to ensuring that the motorcycle community has a seat at the table.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Welcome back to Pit Pass Moto, veteran racer for Moto America and AFT and sometime sprint car driver and Ovalle racer, Tyler O'Hara. Tyler, welcome back to the show, man.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you got the new season in front of you. Talk about what you got coming up probably next month.
Yeah. So we got the 2022 Moto America King of the Baggers back on board with the SNS Cycles Indian Motorcycle Missions Food team and be back on the Indian Challenger. And we got a doubleheader down at Daytona Bike Week coming up March 10th through the 12th. So just been really looking forward to that and preparing and doing my homework and excited about the opportunity.
And you got to be excited about going to Daytona. I know you've raced there many times, and I think you've got some experience on winning Daytona on a V-twin. So does that give you somewhat of a competitive edge going into that Baggers event?
I mean, anytime you go to a place and you win and you've won there multiple times, you know, it makes it special. I think a competitive advantage just with the experience in the draft is definitely going to be an advantage. But it's going to be all new. These bikes are going to punch such a big hole in the air. And you know, we're just going to have to see where we're at as far as mile per hour and what kind of the group is like. And, you know, I've got a lot of respect for all my other competitors and just, you know, we're going to go in there and put ourselves in a position to, you know, try to lead the last lap.
So, Tyler, you being the inaugural King of the Baggers Invitational winner, you finished second last year in the three-round series. And now for 2022, they've expanded to six rounds. I mean, you got to be thrilled about the popularity and growth of this King of the Baggers series.
Yeah, the short amount of time and the amount it's just grown and exploded with spectators and the amount of attention and the manufacturers getting involved. It's just, I'm just riding the wave and just enjoying it and having fun. And I think this year is just going to be a record year.
So tell us a little bit about, like, I mean, what is it like to ride one of these 600-pound motorcycles on a road race circuit? I mean, how long does it take to feel, I mean, I would imagine you have to ride it a few times to feel comfortable on those big bikes. And, you know, what's some of the sketchiest parts about racing those big machines?
You know, they're actually, the Indian Challenger is just a really good platform and a really good bike to begin with. Obviously, they're heavy. The weight displacement, you know, is a big deal, but our bike is, the weight's real low, so it doesn't really feel as heavy as it is. I mean, hardest part's getting out of in and out of the pits. Personally, I think that's the hardest part for me. The challenge is just the turning radius isn't that good. And then, you know, just realizing that you're riding a bagger, first of all, you know, there's always a battle between lean angle and riding the bike to its capabilities and not overriding it, and, you know, understanding what the bike can do and what the bike can't do, and just riding the bike within the limits.
Well, so that makes me want to ask the next question, which was your role in developing the bike, because it wasn't a simple process, as I understand it. I've watched the videos and I've talked to the guys from S&S, and that was a monumental task that they undertook. And I'm kind of curious for you, what was probably the most unique modification they made to tailor it for you to make you comfortable and be able to get around the track as fast as you can?
Well, you know, first of all, the first year we went to Laguna Seca, everyone built drag race bikes and, you know, a lot of horsepower. And we were definitely the slowest bike as far as horsepower. We were way underpowered. Our main focus was handling and agility and ground clearance. And, you know, when I had, they sent me a stock Indian Challenger and they basically said, okay, so put a foam booth on the seat, sit on it and tell us where you want the foot pegs. And basically, we ended up with the rear sets basically back where the passenger foot pegs up and back, and the ergonomics just a little bit more aggressive per se than the bagger. And then just, yeah, developing the ergonomics is and then the ride height, and just the experience with the V-twin, 5 years on the V-twin, bringing that into the equation, and having the guys at S&S Cycles and the resources at Indian Motorcycle to make changes and really help develop the bike.
Well, it definitely appears to be a bunch of guys that have worked hard and are having just a ton of fun out on the racetrack when they finally do get out there. And it seems like the racers are enjoying themselves more than ever. And you mentioned that earlier on in the interview, but I wanted to ask you, is it all fun, or is it once the flag drops, is it dead serious racing? Are you guys just smiling and grinning the whole time?
No, once the green flag drops, the BS stops. You know that. It's racing. It doesn't matter what you're racing, and especially, you know, we got this is a heck of an opportunity for me and a lot of other guys. And, you know, is the goal is always to win, right? I mean, we're not showing up to ride around and try to get finished second or third or anything else. And obviously, the big picture is the championship in New Jersey. So we got 7 races this year, which is great. You know, being consistent and adds a whole new level of competition, and versus the 3-round triple crown, it's definitely the long game and being consistent. But you know what? We're all having so much fun, and there's a lot of camaraderie. We got the Indian versus Harley rivalry, which really has made us better and really helped develop the bikes.
So like many road racers, Tyler, you also race flat track. In fact, last year I saw where you pulled double duty and raced the Atlanta Super TT and then also raced the King of the Baggers at Road Atlanta on the same weekend. So you're going to be doing some more flat tracking this year? And what's in store there?
Yeah, last year was just a dream come true opportunity that I put together when I made my deal with S&S Cycles and Indian to ride the Indian Challenger that, you know, the circumstances that, you know, the opportunity became available that I could run a TT and on a factory Indian FTR 750. And I jumped at the opportunity and went out and had the most fun and got to ride the best bike and got to throw myself in with the wolves and see where I was at. And we had a pretty good showing, and it was just super fun. And it was a long weekend, and I'm glad I got to take care of business on Sunday when it was the King of the Baggers at Atlanta and win the race and everything. And this year, it doesn't look like it's on the cards. They made some changes over there on the FTR 750 program. They got Shannon Texter riding the 750 Byer Bauman. So they have 2 riders this year, it's not in the cards, but I got a couple other things that are in the works I can't announce yet, but I'll definitely be riding a lot at each event at Moto America.
Well, we'll definitely keep our eyes open for that, Tyler, because we love to see you race just about anything you can race. And you're a guy that's raced just about everything we know, because you've competed at the Daytona 200 and in addition to the baggers and the flat track. But I know one of your big hobbies last time we talked to you was the Ovalies and getting out on the mini bikes as a training tool, I think, and hoping that maybe that would eventually turn into some sort of, I don't know, race series of some kind. Is that maybe in the future for you?
No, I mean, it's a tool. It's part of my training. I seen a lot of MotoGP guys were running these, Ovales, and you got, I got the Gen 1, so it's a 10-inch small wheel, and it's really made me a better rider. Just the way you ride and the body English and tip in and roll speed to the apex. I have another 12-inch, the Gen 2 version in route. So I have two of those, and I got a 3 Ninja 400s now. So I do a lot of rental coaching, and I'm up here at the kart track today. We're training, and with Hayden Mang, we're riding mini bikes, and then we jump on the 400s, and all the fundamentals transition over to the big bike. And it's a little less risky, but it's a tool. And I don't see myself lining up to go race Ovales anytime soon. I think I found my niche, and that's a big bike, you know, overweight, ill handling bikes is my specialty. I'm not saying my bike is ill handling. It's come a long way from where we started, but that's where I see myself. It's just a tool to keep me sharp.
So changing directions a little bit, Tyler, you talk a lot about, you know, being present and living in the moment when you're racing. And I've been hearing this a lot with a lot of racers lately. It seems to be kind of a, you know, more of a trend where, you know, we're focusing on more of the mental aspects of racing. How does that mindset apply to you, you know, apply to being a racer? And is it something you try to apply to your everyday life as well?
Yeah. I mean, that's the secret, right? To get in the flow state, you got to be present, and everything goes back to your breathing. And, you know, as a racer, you got to be present and focus on one corner at a time to get your overall outcome and your goals to win, right? So you, to get a good lap time and to be, you know, you got to be present. And that goes back to your breathing. And, you know, this off season, you know, I've elevated all my training, and mentally I've got some new books I'm reading. And then also, went to school and did some other education on riding and some different schools and how they teach and stuff. Just trying to just keep learning. And then obviously my training, and, you know, I got a yoga instructor I bring out to my house, and we do, you know, yoga once a week with the training program. And then that's some meditation involved as well. And I think that's just a huge part of it, really. It's just believing in it, but also being present, and just gets back to your breathing. And that's kind of my, you know, it's not a secret, but it's definitely taken me to the next level.
Yeah, that was another aspect I was going to ask you about, is like you mentioned where you prepare your body and your mind, you know, for the rigors of racing by, you know, practicing yoga and using visualization. So tell us a little bit more about that, like how both have helped you in your, how you feel both have helped you in your racing.
You know, I've been racing professionally since 2005, and I've had mental skills coaches and really worked and tapped into the power of the mind and just focusing on what's in my control. Attitude and effort and just, you know, not worrying about things that aren't in my control, and just taking it to the next level and having, you know, making it a regular part of my routine and my practice. And visualizing is a big part of it, obviously. And then goal setting, right? So, you know, it starts as a dream, and then you write it down and it becomes a goal. And then you got to create a plan, and then you just write down step by step on how you're going to attack it. And then, you know, you go all in, and you just leave no stone unturned. And you know, it's just, it's a big part of it. You got to believe it, but you also got to put in the work. There's no secrets.
That is absolutely true. Bringing that mental aspect to racing, we love to hear about it. And we're happy for you and excited for you at the same time. And before we close out today, Tyler, I had one last question. In all your racing, including baggers, who's been your toughest competitor, the one racer that, I don't know, I don't want to say don't want to line up against, but always gives you the hardest time out on the racetrack?
Probably Michael Barnes. He's been around, and he's an old dog. He's ornery. He races hard. And for some reason, we always end up next to each other battling. And you know what? He's just the first guy that comes to mind when it's just, it's not like I don't want to line up against him. I don't mind. I'll line up against anybody. You know, obviously, you know, you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. And we've just had this, you know, good sportsmanship and a lot of respect. But man, we are rivals on the track, and we race hard. And he's just the first person that comes to mind.
That is so cool. And I've heard rumors of some fiberglass flying in that baggers class, the guys banging up against each other. And just so that's why I wanted to ask that question.
Yep, rubbin's racing, man. I think this year where there's a lot more opportunity to make some money, and I think the level intensity is just going to go up. And, you know, the racing is just going to be more aggressive. But hopefully he's behind me, so I don't have to worry about that.
There you go. That's the right mindset, as you said, visualizing your plan, for sure.
Yep.
Absolutely. Wonderful, always, as always, to talk to you. And we'd like to take these last few moments. If there's anybody in your program you want to thank, sponsors and such, now would be the time to do it.
Yeah, the whole S&S Cycles, Indian Motorcycle, Mission Foods, everybody that sponsors me, Alpine Star, CD Boots, 60 Helmets. It's a group effort. My guys have heart and they work hard, very hard this off season. I'm so grateful for this opportunity and the support. You know, we're looking forward to going out and competing every weekend, and obviously you're going to go try to win this championship, get my crown back.
Absolutely. We look forward to it, Tyler, and thanks again for spending time with us today, man.
Appreciate you guys. Have a good day. Take care.
Thanks again to our guests for being with us today, and thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to follow us on your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. If you have a moment, please rate and review us. We really appreciate it. Make sure you're also following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit pitpassmoto.com, where you can check out our blog and our brand new store where you can get your Pit Pass swag.
This has been a production of Evergreen Podcasts. A special thank you to Tommy Boy Halverson, producer Leah Longbreak, and audio engineer Eric Coltnow. I'm Dale Spangler.
And I'm Dave Selecki. See you next week on Pit Pass Moto.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.